Well, today is the day after Christmas Day, and kind of weird this year, hasn't it, that today, this Sunday, is closer to Christmas than last Sunday, which we called Christmas Sunday, was. It was a week ahead of the actual day. Today, it seems more like Christmas Sunday, doesn't it, because it's so close. I know it's after the fact, but still so close. So, well, even though it's the day after Christmas, I thought it would be good to keep a Christmas theme for this morning. Matthew Little, no relation to Greg Little that I know of, Matthew Little is the president of New Brunswick Bible Institute, and he wrote in his Christmas greeting this year these words: "For many, Christmas is nothing more than a holiday date they circle on a calendar. It is a time filled with gifts, goodwill, and good boys and girls, in brackets, we hope. The Christmas holiday swoops in like an unsuspecting gust of wind, and then all is calm and life returns to normal. The tree comes down, the decorations retreat to a dark closet, and life continues on like nothing ever happened. Unfortunately, this is how many treat the Christmas season," he says. "The story of the birth of Jesus is nothing more than a seasonal holiday that disappears along with the decorations. Jesus did not come to establish our most favorite holiday. He came for individuals like you and me." And then he quotes from Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He writes, "I hope you caught the significance of what Scripture has said. Jesus came for you. Here were the shepherds looking after their sheep, and an angel appeared to tell them that Jesus was born for them. This good news was for every person in the world. Christmas reminds us that God wrapped his arms of love around us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, how unprepared our minds are to absorb such a powerful thought. Christmas is the wonderful, personal, deep love of God on display for you," he says, referencing John 3:16. And he kind of hits the nail on the head a little bit, that, you know, even after today, or whenever you take your Christmas decorations down, maybe New Year's, it's put away, and in the minds of a lot of people in the world, that's it for another year. Now we'll wait 12 months and do it all over again. Whereas Christmas needs to be in our minds all the time. At least the meaning of Christmas needs to be fresh in all of our minds. And we can keep that by reminding ourselves, even daily throughout 2022, of what Christmas really means. Now, some of you have been around here long enough to know that the word Christmas means Christ sent. Christ sent. It doesn't mean Christ Mass, as in Roman Catholic Mass. We had, I didn't put the article out this year, but we've had articles before in other years that the individual traces the meaning or the etymology of the words, and has discovered that the Mass at the end of Christmas comes from ancient Gaelic or something like that, and it means sent. So Christmas literally means Christ sent, right? Sent from the glories of heaven and eternity to this earth to take on flesh and become part of his own creation. Sent to save his people from their sins. Sent to pay the price for all our sins by dying on a cross and shedding his blood. Sent to bring us hope, security, joy, peace, and love from the Father through the Son, and applied to the lives of every believer by the Holy Ghost. So with that in mind, I would like this morning to consider the name, just the name, given to Mary's baby boy. That name is Jesus. And we'll look at a few scriptures this morning just to learn a few things about the name. When we consider the name of a baby, we think of many things, don't we? Just think back to when you had your kids and you were thinking about what to call them. We think of many things, perhaps honoring a relative. Maybe it's a grandfather or grandmother or brother, sister. We give thought to maybe a name that we like, because there's some names that you just do not like at all. So you want to have a name that you like. Perhaps the meaning of a name factors into what you are going to call your little baby, how it sounds with the last name, even how to spell the name, because there's all kinds of really weird spellings of names anymore. You almost have to do a double take sometimes when you're looking at a name. Just, well, that's not how we used to spell that particular name. When our kids were in the womb, we didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And so we had a boy's name and a girl's name picked out before they were born. And then we would just apply that to whatever came out. The name was our choice, and so we named our firstborn Robert Raymond Redding. He is Robert the Fifth, Robert Redding the Fifth. My great-grandfather was Robert Thomas. My grandfather was Robert Horace. My dad is Robert William. I'm Robert Bruce. And so we called Rob Robert Raymond, and now Rob's firstborn is Noah Robert Redding. So trying to keep that tradition going on. Raymond is after Janice's dad, his second name. And that's what we chose. Our second born was Julie Ann Lynn Redding. Julie Ann for my sister Ann. Lynn as part of my sister Bonnie Lynn's name, and then Redding. Janice didn't have any sisters that we could use to call our little girl. And so you think back to when you had the privilege to name your baby. Anymore, now, of course, they have gender reveal parties, right, with balloons, different colored balloons going up. I don't know how they... how they can do that with all the transgender stuff going on around today. But, you know, blue is a boy, pink is a girl, and they have all kinds of these things. And everybody anymore knows exactly what they're having before the birth takes place. In the case of Mary and Joseph, they didn't have an option to pick a name for Mary's baby. They were told what to call Mary's baby. And so let's take a look at a few passages that tell us about the name of Mary's baby. First one, the angelic announcement to Mary. We've already read it this morning, but come back to Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, and again in verse 26. Well, you can glance over the passage that we read earlier, but if you look at... verse 30. So the angels come in. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus." So they had no choice. Mary had no choice in what her baby was to be called. The angel sent from God told her that you're going to have a son. And that was pre-ultrasound days. You're going to have a son, and you're going to call his name Jesus. And so an interesting scenario for Mary, not only that she would bring forth a son, but that the name has already been picked out by God the Father. God God selected the name, so therefore you got to think, this is important. This is something essential. This is something necessary that they should call this baby Jesus. The name Jesus was already selected even before he was conceived in Mary's womb. Think about that for a minute. Can you imagine Mary's anticipation? Right. For 9 months, she knew she was going to have a baby boy, right? And his name would be Jesus. I wonder if she practiced saying his name to see how it rolled off the tongue, how she could maybe put some of her motherly instincts into saying the name Jesus, just so that when he came along, she would be ready and would recognize him and acknowledge him as being Jesus. I wonder if she ever pondered, she probably did, all the other things that Gabriel told her about her son named Jesus. Look at verse 32. He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Mary said to the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so the name Jesus has so much more meaning attached to it, as per the angel here, and the things that were going to be accomplished from Mary's little baby called Jesus. Joseph was told the same thing, but in a slightly different context. So number two, note the angelic announcement to Joseph over in Matthew chapter 1. So if you want to turn back to Matthew chapter 1. Sorry, it's taking me a bit to get there. So in Matthew chapter 1 in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Slightly different context, same angel, same kind of message. Mary's going to conceive, so don't be afraid to take her as your wife. They were in the betrothal, espousal period, which was as good as being married, really. And so the angel said that Mary was going to bring forth a son. It was of the Spirit of God. And he said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. To Mary, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. To Joseph, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. So almost a double whammy here. But then he adds, for he shall save his people from their sins. And down a little bit later in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24 and 25, we read Joseph being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And I think that we need to take note of the connection of the name Jesus with the phrase that follows, for he shall save his people from their sins. Seems to me this is a vital association of the name Jesus. You know, it's not just Jesus, it's all of these other things that become part of his name. He is Savior, and he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus in the Greek text is Iesus. Iesus. And it means, do you remember? Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus, of course, is the same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. In Hebrew, Joshua is Yehoshua. It gets translated into Greek as Jesus and translated into English as Jesus. Of course, Yehoshua translated as Joshua. But they both mean the same thing. Jehovah is salvation. So even in the name Jesus is the inference of salvation provided by God himself for all man. Can you imagine in the days when Jesus was a little toddler, that maybe he's out playing with his friends and it's lunchtime and Mary goes to the door and calls out his name, Jesus, time for lunch, come on home. And every time she said, Jesus, people would understand that means Jehovah is salvation. Every time she spoke his name, she was evangelistically using it to let people know that Jehovah is salvation. He will save his people from their sins, and in his death on the cross, as the Lamb of God, he died for all of us to bear the punishment for our sins. The name Jesus occurs 983 times in our King James Bible, and all of them are in the New Testament. All of them in the New Testament. That makes sense because it's a Greek text and English translation. From Matthew 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, the first book to the last book, the first verse of the New Testament to the last verse of the New Testament, Jesus' name appears throughout. Interestingly, the book with the most occurrences of the name Jesus, can you hazard any guess? Which book, New Testament book, would have the most occurrences of the name Jesus? I got a John here. It actually is the Gospel of John. Way to go, Rose. 256 times the name Jesus is mentioned in John's Gospel. The other Gospels don't even come close to it, and all the epistles and the remaining books in the New Testament don't even come close to that number of times. All of the rest of the epistles only have less than 60 times, many of them very much less, mention of the name Jesus. So John has the most at 256. And also interesting to know that the name Jesus occurs in every New Testament book except for one. One New Testament book does not have the name Jesus in it. I won't ask you to guess. It's 3 John, which is interesting because in the Gospel, John uses it more than anybody, and yet in the third epistle, he doesn't mention it, doesn't mention the name. But he does, however, say this in verse 7, because that for his name's sake they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. And in the context, we know that his name's sake is definitely a reference to the Lord Jesus. I believe that if you want to have a good presentation of Jesus, the Gospel of John is the book to read. I think that's why the John and Romans are put together by Bearing Precious Seed down in St. Thomas and other places down in the States. The Gospel of John is the book to read if you want to know about the Lord Jesus in a essential kind of format. 21 chapters in the book of John. You can read the whole Gospel in one sitting. Takes about 2.5 hours, I guess normal speed. If you read faster, it'll take less, but about 2.5 hours. You should read the Gospel of John comprehensively. You should read it often. And the book is a blessing from God to us. Do you know what the purpose was for John writing the Gospel? He actually tells us in John chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. Here's what he says. John 20. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. It's a great purpose, isn't it? To let us all know that Jesus is the Christ, and that as we believe in him, we might have life through his name. So Gabriel was sent to Mary and then sent to Joseph, for the part of his purpose was to tell them the name by which they were to call Mary's baby, and that name is Jesus. There's another interesting mention of the name Jesus in Luke 2:21. This was at the circumcision of the Lord Jesus. In Luke 2:21 we read, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now we know that circumcision is a sign of the covenant that God made with Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And you can read about that in Genesis, I think it's 16 or 17. Circumcision is essentially the sign between God and the children of Israel. The cutting of the flesh of baby boys was a sign of Israel being set apart from all other nations and all other people groups. Israel was the chosen people of God. They were holy, set apart to God and for his purposes. They were, and are still yet today, a unique people that God loves and works in to bring them to himself by grace through faith. Right now in Israel, reestablished in 1948, most of them are there in unbelief. They don't have any recognition of Jehovah as God. They very secular, don't have time for the Bible and so on. Even though there are some Jews there that are already for the rebuilding of a third temple in Jerusalem, and they've got priests all dedicated and all the stuff that they need for sacrifice, which is very interesting. But by and large, most of the people in Israel today are just very secular and unbelievers. But still, they are the chosen people of God, and he's not finished with them yet, and he will work in them that by the time of the end of the tribulation, they will finally recognize that Jesus is their Messiah and Redeemer. So Jesus is circumcised at 8 days old. He is now part of the unique people of God. The Son of God is now identified with the chosen people of God, his people for whom Jesus came to save from their sins. Express purpose of his coming. Another mention, interesting mention of the name is in Peter's message to the rulers and elders of Israel. This would be number four in Acts 4, verse 12. Now, I'll just mention this briefly, and you can give some time to muse on it a little bit later. Acts 4, 10 through 12 says, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so the name of Jesus is essential for the salvation of any person in this world today. We must trust him and believe in him by grace through faith in order to be saved. There's no other name in all the world that will do that bring salvation to a believer other than the name Jesus. And then one more reference, number 5, is Paul's epistle to the Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, I don't know if, Joe, you mentioned this in your Sunday school lesson this morning. I was listening. I can hear everything now with hearing aids. So be careful what you say. And I could hear you sitting at my desk. But note in Philippians 2, 5 to 11, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. The Greek word here for servant is doulos. That's a slave. He took upon him the form of a slave and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death on the cross. And if that was the end of the passage, you know, our hearts would be broken and horrified that God the Son humbling himself and dying on a cross when he came down to this earth from the glories of heaven. But Paul carries on in the next verse. Wherefore, he says, because of what Christ has done in humbling himself even to the death of a cross, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a wonderful name, the name Jesus. And I believe that God the Father had all of these ramifications of the name Jesus when he told Mary and Joseph by the angel that they were to call their son Jesus. So we sum up by saying Jesus, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin, named of the angel, circumcised the 8th day, is the most important person in the whole world, past, present, and future. No other name above the name of Jesus. His name is above every other name. And at his name, every knee will bow, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some are going to have to do that by force. Others will willingly confess him as Lord. I trust that we all are part of that group that willingly confess Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And that we will bow at the name of Jesus willingly because we know what he has done for us. Jesus' name is so precious. And I encourage you to speak his name, to use his name, not in some kind of mystical kind of thing, but just when you're talking to other people about him, use his name. Talk about Jesus. One of the pet peeves I have anymore is that it seems like all the modern songs that, contemporary Christian music, they hardly ever use the name Jesus. They obviously are intending to speak about him and to him, but they never hardly ever use his name. And I find that sad because his name is so precious and we should hear it. We should say it as often as we can, and properly, of course. We don't want to use his name in vain, for his name is holy. So let us acknowledge, even the day after Christmas, let us acknowledge his holy name. Confess him as our Lord now and forever on into 2022. Let us tell others about who Jesus really is, right? The reason for Christmas. Christ sent, Mary's baby boy, his name is Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. And as we talk to folks, and we can talk to, Christmas is a really good time to talk about the Lord Jesus, because That's what the season really is. But we ought to be able to talk to everybody that we come across about Jesus one way or another, to let them know who he really is and to help them confess his name by faith as well. And so Jesus, it's the sweetest name I know. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for recording for us in the scriptures the name that you gave to your only begotten Son, a name communicated to both Mary and Joseph by the angel Gabriel, that they were to call Mary's baby by the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the intent and the meaning of that name. Jehovah is salvation. He's come to save his people from their sins, that he is the Christ, and that by believing in him, we can have life through his name. Thank you that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And I trust and pray that each one of us here today knows Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior because we have believed on him and believed the record that has been given to us in the scriptures. Thank you for the many times that his name is mentioned throughout the New Testament. And we trust that you might perhaps make us eager to trace through his name through the New Testament and all of those places and to see what other things we can learn of him. Thank you for our time this morning, a brief look at the wonderful name of Jesus, and we pray that you will make it a blessing to each one of us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.